The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
From studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Well, welcome to the second hour of the Common Sense Show. Sure glad to have you with us on part of your weekend as we look over the week's news and try to make a little common sense of what direction this world is heading. This is an interesting story, a challenging story, very disturbing story, quite frankly, to a number of my listeners. I'm not Catholic. I was raised in the Pentecostal church, actually, and have been Presbyterian most of my life. My wife's Episcopal, but I do have a lot of friends who are Catholic, live down in the state of Louisiana, which is a heavy Catholic state, although we have a large listenership throughout this country that are Catholic. And so I'll tell you a story. This is a Louisiana story right now, but it has huge national implications, and I want you to get your thoughts on this and to put this in perspective. We understand that when you go to confession, that there's a bond between those, the person who is confessing and the priest who hears the confession, that sacrosanct, that's like your lawyer, that the priest cannot reveal what you say in any way. Well, there is a lawsuit going on down in Louisiana against the Catholic priest where a young lady said that she was abused, not by the priest, but by someone else. She confessed this to the priest, that she was abused for a number of years and repeatedly confessed it, and the priest didn't take any action to intercede in any way. Now, in the state of Louisiana, there's something called the Louisiana Children's Code, and it says members of the clergy, including priests, rabbis, for our Jewish listeners, and other ordained ministers of faith, are mandatory reporters of suspected abuse. Now, the law provides an exception when the allegations of abuse are the subject of a confidential religious communication, like confession. For example, if it's not confession in that regard, then the person who receives this confession is by law in many states supposed to report this abuse. But there is an exception when if you said, well, I was abused as a child and I want to confess, then it looks like in Louisiana the law says that the priest or the rabbi who is ever getting that confidential information doesn't reveal anything like that. That's kept confidential. However, there is a major exception that if the person making the confession, the confession is endangered in any way, and I'll read you the exact language. It says, if you have heard the confession and you have cause to believe that a child's physical or mental health or welfare is endangered, then you must report that to the authorities. So the courts, in a lawsuit, the Supreme Court of Louisiana has said that if there's any endangerment whatsoever, any future activity of abuse, that has to be reported, regardless of the confession. No exceptions. And then it's kind of muddy in terms of what the response is for abuse involving past acts. And the courts is going on pretty strong down here to say that if a priest learns of a situation such as an abuse outside the confessional, he can act on that independent information as he deems appropriate. So if you learn outside the confessional of someone being abused, then you have stronger duties than, say, in the confessional, unless there is abuse continuing to take place. You see what I'm saying? And so now some of the court members, and here's where the trend is going, are saying that this binds of the confession can be waived by the person who is confessing. For example, if you go in to make a confession into the Catholic Church and you confess to the priest that you've been abused and there's a court case that, comes out, the person can waive the confidentiality, which forces the priest then to testify under oath. You see what I'm saying? You know, there's somebody waives that restriction, who is the confessor, then that forces the priest into the situation of having to testify. So it's a very muddy area that has not really been brought into the court system. It has not just national ramifications, it has worldwide ramifications. In terms of confessionals, it's just not a legal issue involving Catholics, because, as I say, a confession made to a rabbi. Maybe you say that you know that Janie was abused in the past. And, well, if it's in the past, then the rabbi or the priest says, well, they don't take any action. It was under confession and the person's moved on. In fact, in this Louisiana case, the person doing the abusing has died. He's not even around. So what are the obligations then at that stage? Now, the rabbi or the priest or the minister may say, well, I have no obligation to do anything publicly because the person is not here. The person died in this instance, and the person has confessed something in the past. They wanted to get it off their chest. But what happens if there's a lawsuit? Let's assume that the person doing the abusing is sued by the person who was abused, and as proof, and the defense says, well, she just made that up. We never heard that before. And so her lawyers goes ahead and summons the priest saying, look, we want you to testify that she came to you 5 years ago. And the priest says, wait a minute, I did this as part of confession. I don't think I can do this. And so you see the conflict that's being raised. You see, does the priest or the rabbi or the minister, must he or she break the seal of confession? And then maybe if they get sued themselves, let's assume they're getting sued themselves because they didn't take any action. Well, then can they break the seal of confession? There's all kinds of muddied areas that have been opened up by these new claims and this new case. And so I share that with you because whether you live in California, whether you're in New York City, wherever you are, the language in this lawsuit is not limited to that within the Catholic Church. The primary element you'd think of is within the Catholic Church, because we all know there's confession, and good Catholics, devout Catholics, regularly confess and assume that it is something of a confidential nature. That may not be the case, and this is not just a local court case. This is a decision that came down from the Louisiana Supreme Court. So if a Supreme Court in one state takes this action, you can certainly expect that there will be more action along this line in terms of obligations of the confessional, obligations of the priest when the priest has knowledge. It's a sticky situation, and I would tell you I certainly concur with the language of the court that says if anybody in authority, priest, rabbi, whatever, takes a confession and knows there is continuing abuse in any way, mental, physical abuse, then some action must be taken. The priest needs to convince the young person to go to the authorities, and then do you go the next step? It's a teenager or a child, and they don't want to, or a mother who confesses about the stepfather doing some terrible things to the child, but the mother is a devout Catholic, so you can't tell. He'll beat me, there's no way you can tell that. But yes, it's still going on. He's beating the children. He's abusing the children. It's going on right now. What's the priest do? What's the rabbi do? Those are tough, tough issues. And according to Louisiana law, if there is continuing abuse, and by the way, this is the law just not down here. This is the law in a number of states. That priest has to break that vow of confidentiality and go ahead and let the authorities know to stop that continuing abuse from being taken. So I just share that with you, and it'll be an interesting case to see how it moves forward. Do you think that'll get the U.S. Supreme Court? Interesting in terms of thinking. things that directly affect our lives. So many of these court cases don't affect us. Something like this certainly does if you're a believer and if you believe in confession. Hey, Jim Brown, The Common Sense Show. My website, www.jimbrownusa.com. Hope you'll check out my site. You can sign up for a little monthly newsletter, see my columns, have some fun on that site, too. I'd urge you to go to jimbrownusa.com. We've got a lively show today, much more to talk about. Freshen up your coffee, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNLive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
All of us want to stay healthy, particularly as we grow older. I work out and try to watch what I eat, but you need more. You need a vitamin supplement to give you that extra energy and to help keep your weight down. My solution? I use Youngevity vitamins and minerals to keep me in good health. They're easy to take, and the power drinks, for me, really taste good. Hey, give them a try. Go to my website at jimbrownhealth.com. That's jimbrownhealth.com. You'll be glad you did.
Friends, this is Alex Jones for MidasResources.com. For more than 15 years, I have exclusively used Midas Resources for all my precious metal needs. Whether it's bullion or collectibles you're looking for, Midas Resources is simply the best. I own my gold as a hedge against inflation. This Federal Reserve fiat currency could go the way of the Deutschmark and the Weimar Republic anytime. In these historically dangerous times, it makes sense to physically hold gold and silver. Midas already has some of the best deals in the industry. But if you give them a call and mention the radio special, they will give you a list of the day's super specials. Midas brokers are standing by to answer all your questions at 800-686-2237. They also have a lot of informative free literature explaining the opportunities and risk of holding precious metals. They are ready to answer your questions at 800-686-2237. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
We are the premier independent talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Hey, let's talk a little health. We try to stay healthy, and something that we have a section on our show every week. You know, it's no secret that hospitals are dirty places. We all know that. We've heard that. Hospital-acquired infections, quite frankly, can be major killers, and everyday objects on the wards, like white coats, ultrasound equipment, are harbors of bacteria. You know, one of the worst things you can do, if a doctor comes in with his tie flapping around, I nicely tell him, oh, she puts tuck his tie in. I don't want that tie hitting me in the arm or something like that or on his fingers, because that tie's flapping around. Who knows how dirty the tie is? And all these doctors wear these ties, and I'm not big on that. But anyway, there's a new study out. A new study came out by a medical journal called Open Medicine, and it's revealed a little-known germ hotspot, the hospital elevator button. I never thought of the elevator button on the hospital, but the research conducted by a number of physicians compared the amounts of bacteria living on 120 elevator buttons and 96 toilet seats in a cross-section of hospitals. Now, what they did to find out, they went in with the researchers went in and swabbed elevator buttons. And they acted like microbe hunters, I guess, Holmesian micro hunters. And they swabbed the handles of bathroom stalls and toilet flushers. The results will lift elevator buttons to the same ick factor, quite frankly, that we see as far as waiting room magazines or hotel remote controls. The elevator buttons were much dirtier than the toilet seats. Because the study says, I'll quote the study, the prevalence of colonization with bacteria of elevator buttons was 61%. Toilet seats is only 43%. So the elevator button is dirtier than the toilet seat. So, and I guess it makes sense. You know, people have their hands on maybe the sick child and the sick child's runny nose. They wipe the sick child's runny nose with a tissue. Their doors are on handles as they come to the hospital. Your hands just go into a variety of places. And so then you hit the elevator button. Whatever on your fingertips will transfer to the elevator button. You then go ahead, or someone else like me goes and hits the button. I pick up your germs in my fingers. I put it up on my nose and my face. Next thing you know, I'm in bed for a week with the flu, right? And so researchers offered a few solutions. Place alcohol-based hand sanitizers outside elevators. And a number of hospitals are doing this when you come in. You're seeing this. Look, a lot of the supermarkets do it, and I love that. If you don't have those little sanitizing wipes to wipe the handles on the baskets going into a supermarket, I don't shop there. Or I maybe try the first time and tell the grocery store, look, you need to put these hand sanitizers. And actually, where I live, most supermarkets and even small grocery stores are doing that now. And so that would be a great way to do it with the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. And then I'll tell you what I do. I use my elbow. I use my elbow when I touch the button. He said, well, that's paranoid. Brown's, you know, he's always going to the extremes. Let me tell you what, folks. I'm 74 years old, and I don't get sick. I'll tell you a few other things I do, and maybe you think I'm a kook. I fist bump. I'm not a handshaker. I just stick my fist out there. Nobody's offended by it. They fist bump me. Then I kind of wipe the tip of my fist maybe on my shirt. And my family doesn't do that. And every year I take care of my family, go to the pharmacy, get the prescription, take them to the doctor because they get the flu. They've got a bad cold through the winter. I don't get that. I haven't for years, and I don't do anything special. I just try to use some common sense in taking care of myself. I fist bump instead of shaking hands. You know, some guy comes in, you're sitting there at a restaurant, he's got his hands on his car handle and the door handles, and he's shaking a bunch of hands. Who knows what the condition of his head and hands are like? I wash my hands before I eat. I sit down in the restaurant. Hey, Jim, how you doing? He sticks his hand out there to me. I don't want to shake that guy's hand. I want to keep my food healthy, and I want to keep it so I don't pick up any germs. And so I smile. How you doing? I stick out my fist, and he fist bumps me, and that's fine. There's no problem with that. You can make some little adjustments to what you do. I talked about today. That's real concerning, the elevator buttons, and that's any elevator button. That's just not in the hospital. Particularly in the hospital, though, when sick patients are coming in to go getting taken care of, they're wiping their nose, they're sick, they've got germs, they may have disease, and they're hitting the hospital button. You do, and you're more susceptible to it, 61% more likely. So use your elbow or ask the hospital, say, listen, I sure wish you'd put some alcohol-based wipes up here. And you know, most hospitals are looking for constructive suggestions, particularly to say, you know, your competition down the street's got those wipes. I love that. I tell that to the supermarket man. The next day, they got the wipes in. I told one local supermarket, look, I like you. You got the things I like. You're convenient. You're a little closer. But your competition has these wipes, and you don't. And I just want to stay healthy. And I just want to make a suggestion. I was very nice about it. I didn't get irritated or anything like that. The manager understood. Within a day or two, they had wipes there for me to kind of, as you walk in, kind of, well, I kind of wipe my hands briefly. Then I go across the top of the handle on the push card. So I'm not picking up someone else's problems, you see. And by the way, interesting, the study I told you about found that elevator buttons were dirtier than toilets. They were actually cleaner than the hospital computer keyboards that the nurses and everybody are using, and the ultrasound transducers. You follow me? Because, again, look at where everybody's hands are. They sit down with computer keyboards. You sit down to use the computer, boom. You picked it up on you, touch your nose, your mouth. And anyway, you see where I'm coming from on it. I don't want to browbeat the whole thing, but I think some cleanliness with so much disease going around, so many germs floating around, the flu, the growing incidence of flu that we have. You know, I get my flu shot regularly every year. I'm one of the first people to ask for that flu shot. It's no big deal. It's free in most clinics, or little or nothing at the supermarket or at the pharmacy. And you just feel better and you're taking care of yourself. So, in any event, I would just lay that out to you. We don't have a lot of time. I was also going to talk to you about sugar. The head of the American Sugar League is just outraged. He says that his sugar is being unfairly targeted by people who say that there's problems with sugar. I talk about this a lot on my website this week. I've got a big video up there. And I said that sugar per se, yeah, look, everything's got sugar. The problem is it's the amount of sugar that builds up. You go buy a can of peas at the supermarket, turn on the label and look at it, and you'll see a lot of sugar in it. Canned corn. All the things we think are healthy for us to preserve have a lot of sugar in them. So it's moderation is what it is. Look, I like good dessert. It's the weekend. I'm probably going to get a good piece of key lime pie or something like that maybe over the weekend. Just don't do it all the time. Keep your sugar content down. Orange juice loaded with sugar, 35 grams. You need 4 or 5 grams. I'd put half the cup in with water and mix it up and tone down the sugar content. So sugar in moderation is okay. Way too much sugar bad, and we got way too much sugar in our diet. Jim Brown, The Common Sense Show, www.jimbrownusa.com. Hey, I'm just getting warmed up. Tell my producer, ask him if they'll give me a couple more hours, because I've got lots to talk about, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNlive.com.
Working on a home or residential painting project? There's only one name you need to know, PPG. PPG has earned the respect of professionals and homeowners alike because we combine the latest paint technology with expertise and knowledgeable service. PPG offers a broad range of primers, paints, stains, and specialty products to meet all your needs. Available at either our PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints Company-owned store or independent dealer locations throughout the U.S. Each PPG product comes with the customized service you deserve to make sure you get the right fit for the job. And choosing colors has never been easier thanks to the PPG Voice of Color system that helps users discover colors that match their personality. So for the best quality products, excellent service, easy-to-use color tools, and great results, visit your local PPG Pittsburgh Paints or PPG Porter Paints location today.
What good is a big Berkey water filter? We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Whoa! This is big!
Not just big, it's the Freeze Dry Guys Giant Factory Authorized Sale. This month, save 30 to 45% off on number 10 cans of high-quality Mountain House freeze-dried foods from the Freeze Dry Guy. Factory fresh stock just arrived, so now's the time to stock up with the finest, best-tasting, longest-proven shelf-life foods in the industry at giant savings of 30 to 45% off. But hurry, supplies are limited to only the stock we have on hand. Call 866-404-3663. Free shipping to the lower 48 states. Click freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com. Hurry, the Giant Factory authorized Mountain House sale is going on now, only from the Freeze Dry Guy. The finest freeze-dried and dehydrated foods available anywhere for long-term storage.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch, when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
We are America's largest independently owned communications network, GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of thinkology, Jim Brown.
Immigration stays in the news. It's a huge problem, and there's not going to be any solution to it. We're going to be talking about immigration problems for years and years. It's going to be a focus of the 2016 presidential campaign. This last week, Governor Rick Perry of Texas very aggressively demanded that the president take much more action in dealing with the massive flow of illegal immigrants that are crossing the border into Texas, into Arizona, all the way out to California. The president was down in Texas. Perry urged the president to go to the border. The president did not, but he didn't meet with Perry. In fact, it's kind of an amusing picture on the one across the internet showing Perry scowling while the president and a number of the other people at the table are laughing. But in any event, Perry says we should immediately build a wall and that we should take more aggressive action because of the huge numbers of illegal immigrants coming across the border. And the numbers are huge. Let me put it in perspective for you. If you recall, Ronald Reagan, under the Reagan administration, there was the legitimacy or the allowing of 6 million illegal immigrants to stay in this country back in 1986. The idea was we'd go ahead and legalize those immigrants. We'd then build a wall and put in much more security issues so that there would not be any more growth in illegal immigrants. That was 1986. What we have since 1986 is the inflow of over 20 million more illegal immigrants coming overwhelmingly from the border, coming from Hispanics coming in across from Central America and Mexico. So the plan, the Reagan administration plan that was passed by Democrats and Republicans alike, failed, just didn't work. Because there's no protecting the border. That effort has not been made. There's been a half-hearted effort to build some fences, but nothing of any major nature, number one. So that's just a fact. Let me put in perspective the immigration. In the 100-year period from 1862, just during the time of the Civil War, till 1962, about 100 years, 12 million immigrants came into this country legally through Ellis Island, 12 million. If somebody would have asked me that until I researched and found that information, I'd say, well, how many came through Ellis Island over the 100-year? I would say 60 million, 70 million. I just assume that. No, 12 million. Wasn't a lot. You had to meet certain specific requirements. You had to not be sick, and you had to hopefully bring some value to this country. We set some parameters. We want to be a country that brings immigrants. We're a country of immigrants. On the other hand, you have to deal with the crime element. You have to deal with someone coming in with no job and no means of support, and who takes care of them? Well, you and I are doing that by the millions right now of illegals in this country who are getting all types of humanitarian aid, and I know there's a call for that. So it comes down, quite frankly, to two questions. I hear this humanitarian issue. We can't turn those poor kids away. They're coming in and they're being abused. Their parents are being murdered. There's violence in other countries. We just can't turn our backs on them. Well, here's the issue. We're being told not to turn our backs on one element, primarily Hispanics from below our border, our southern border. You can make the same argument about being humanitarian to countries all over the world. Let's look what's going on in African nations. Look what's going on in Uganda. A number of African nations where there is massive violence. The machetes continue to flow. Families are destroyed. Violence there. The hunger that takes place in so many of these countries where the kids have nothing to eat. You can go into Cambodia. A lot of massacre going on in Cambodia. There's a huge increase in violence in Thailand and other parts of the eastern country. Of course, we look at what's going on in the Middle East and Syria. How do you turn your back on refugees from Syria whose families are being slaughtered and who are looking for some way for safety and want a better life? North Korea. We all know what's going on in North Korea. What a dark dictatorship where those folks definitely want to flee. And I can go on and on. Iran, the Middle East. We've not talked about all these countries in the Middle East. So if you want to make the humanitarian argument, then we should open up our borders to not just 20 million, but 200 million or more, because all those folks would love to come to this country and enjoy a better quality of life. And I understand that. It's a question of how far do you go. We'd like to do a lot of things. We'd like to go to Mars, and we'd like to explore so much of the world. There's so many things we want our government to do. We want to have a huge focus on cancer and spend every single resource we have to cure cancer. What are our limitations? Can we be humanitarian and open up our doors to the whole world? Because right now we're letting which is one element come in, and that's where we're being told to be humanitarian, one element, right? So how far can you go? How far can you go? Number two, what's the problem with the border security? We can spend billions and billions of dollars going into Afghanistan, going into Iraq. Our soldiers carry 100-pound sacks of supplies on their back, and they live out in the desert for months at a time and fighting to try to protect someone from some little tribal chief who's living like he lived 200 years ago. But we can't protect our own border. I mean, there's a military to put down there. Let's put our own military. We don't need to be in Afghanistan and Iraq. Or we can handle peace throughout the whole world, but we can't handle border security in the South. I don't understand that. I just don't understand. We've got drones, all this controversy over drones killing people right and left. We can't have drones going back and forth across the border, monitoring the border with infrared light to tell you who's crossing illegally. And then what about the fence? Rick Perry, I don't often agree with Rick Perry. I think he's a little wacky. But I guess you got to give credit where credit is due. Texas is sure booming over right now with its economy. Perry had to have a little something to do with it. I'm sure he's claiming credit for it. I would, too, if I were governor of Texas. But in terms of the border, Perry says you ought to build a fence. You ought to build a wall. Well, with all these problems coming in, you see it goes way beyond just being humanitarian. We've got the massive drug flow that continues to drive folks into this country because we are their clients. We are the purchasers. This is where the market is because of the massive flow of illegal drugs into America. And then you've got the gangs, you've got that come in across the border. So, you know, this is, we talk about terrorism, we talk about some tribal chief in some mountainous region of Afghanistan that 99.99999% of you couldn't point out on a map. I couldn't point out on a map. And that concerns us. We got to go spend billions and go in there with drones and troops and all our military to deal with that tribal chief. But we can't turn the resources loose to give border security from the gangs and the massive drug inflow that's taking place along those borders. It's a question of priorities. Do we have the people? Sure we have the people. Summer, you know what happens in the summertime? Thousands and thousands of National Guard troops. I was in the Louisiana National Guard for 12 years. I did this every summer. You got to go off for a couple of weeks of training. And we used to go to several of the local posts, one up in Arkansas, maybe go to Fort Polk, Louisiana. And you'd hang out and you'd do a little drills. You'd get up in the morning and salute the captain. And you'd go through, you know, a little drill exercise just to get away for a couple of weeks. National Guardsmen do that all over the country. I did that for 12 years, every summer for 12 years. Why not send them down to the border, camp out, use that as an exercise along that border? Put thousands and thousands of Guard troops down there. We've got a huge crisis down there. The drugs, the gangs, the thousands and thousands of illegal immigrants. We just kind of shrug our shoulders and tell, well, we got some Border Patrol people down there. You know what they're doing right now? They're changing diapers. They're changing diapers and babysitting for the kids coming across the border. So there's some real dysfunction going on from the White House to the Congress on down, and it needs to be addressed. We'll talk some more. Jim Brown here on the Common Sense Show. My website, www.jimbrownusa.com. One more fresh up of my coffee, and I'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
How many good people procrastinate? When was the last time you updated your last will and testament, your living will, and your health care power of attorney? If you could get these documents included with your Legal Shield membership for no additional charge, wouldn't it just make sense to have the peace of mind of owning a Legal Shield membership? Worry less and live more with LSProtection.com. That's LSProtection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
All of us want to stay healthy, particularly as we grow older. I work out and try to watch what I eat, but you need more. You need a vitamin supplement to give you that extra energy and to help keep your weight down. My solution? I use Youngevity vitamins and minerals to keep me in good health. They're easy to take, and the power drinks, for me, really taste good. Hey, give them a try. Go to my website at jimbrownhealth.com. That's jimbrownhealth.com. You'll be glad you did.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey water filtration systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids.
I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
Question. Could too many GMO foods and toxins be overloading your digestive and immune systems? Answer, yes. If you're searching for a powerful detox that's gentle enough to use every day, use Pro-EM1 from Terriganix. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic that uses good bacteria to suppress pathogens and gently eliminate toxins from your body. A healthy digestive system will cleanse and remove toxins, support weight loss, improve absorption of food nutrients, and aid in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is made with only non-GMO and certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is dairy, soy, wheat, and gluten-free. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganix.com, spelled Terraganix.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Also available through Amazon Prime. Pro-EM1 from Terraganix. Life's getting better.
A little right, a little left, but always independent-minded. The Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Well, our friend Rush Limbaugh kind of stirred up a hornet's nest, at least down here in my part of the country, when he tried to defend the federal response to Katrina. What he was trying to do was to, he suggested that the current immigration crisis, which we talked about in that last segment of our program, is going to go down as President Barack Obama's Katrina moment. And I agree with him that Katrina, rather that the immigration is going to be a massive problem for the president. He's not going to be able to solve it. It's going to be looked on as a one of his failures in his administration. But according to Limbaugh, the 2005 disaster, here's what he said. Let me read it to you, what he says. The FEMA, you know what FEMA is, the Federal Energy Management Group that comes in for disasters. The FEMA U.S. government response to Katrina was one of the most massive, one of the fastest, one of the most effective emergency responses in our history. Go independently to verify that if you doubt me. He says, and he goes on and on and on to talk about it. He says, I imagine even some of you in the audience who will call yourselves conservative Republicans are saying, Rush, be careful now. No, that's not true. You probably think it's not true because you believe it's being stated for so long. It's been the conventional wisdom for so long that the post-Katrina response was a disaster, and it wasn't. It was the government behaving actually as well as it can in one of the acknowledged roles of the government when done right may be best at, the kind of massive mobilization of resources. And I'll tell you this, the post-Katrina response was far more massive, far more sensible, far more effective than what's being done at the border. Well, I agree with Rush Limbaugh on the fact that what's being done at the border has been a real disaster. We just talked about that. But Rush, I got to tell you, you better check your facts and come down here if you think the Katrina response from the federal government was appropriate and massive and did all the things you said. Let me tell you what happened. I lived through that. I was on the radio down here through that whole disaster. Katrina happened, the levees broke, and the city of New Orleans and all the Gulf Coast flooded massively. And so you say, well, why wasn't there local help? Well, you got to remember all the police officers and all the security people and all the emergency response people, they were up to their neck in the water, too. They were trying to save their family and save their homes and trying to evacuate. Massive evacuation going on. So there's a whole breakdown locally. Okay, you say, Brown, you talked about the National Guard in that past segment, to call up the National Guard. Where were the National Guard? They were over in Iraq. 5,000 Louisiana Guard troopers were over in Iraq because the federal government called them up to go fight some minor mountain lord over in Iraq rather than being home to defend our state like they're supposed to be doing. That's what I thought the role of the Guard was, to be here to defend internally on these problems. Federal government shipped them off to Iraq. We didn't have very many guardsmen. So you call on the federal government. This is a massive emergency. And you remember, 3,000 people lost their lives. You know, people are in their homes and they think there's going to be rescue boats and help coming and helicopters, and they're on the ground floor. Then if they got a two-story house, they go to the second floor, and the water after a day keeps coming up. There's no way to get away and no boats are coming. Then they go up into the attic to get away from the rising water, and the water comes up to their knees and their waists and up to their neck, and they cry for help. They may be on their cell phone crying. I can tell you some stories of police officers who told me that they were manning the remote controlled information, and lady says, "I've got my baby in my hand and the water's up to my neck and I'm holding the baby above my head, please." And then the phone went dead. So massive confusion where, and if there had been an invasion, like I say, when we went into Grenada, when we go to Afghanistan, we get the 57th Airborne, they hop on planes, boom, they're in a matter of hours, right? We hear about these stories. We see movies about these stories. Let me tell you about what happened. Lower New Orleans, there's a place called Plaquemine Parish. My brother-in-law used to be the sheriff down there. The Canadian Mounted Police made it to those flooded areas in the New Orleans area before the first federal response got in. 6 or 7 days, I think about 6 days, the Canadian response came in, and no sign of the feds. So Rush Limbaugh, you're wrong. You got to come down and take a look at what happened. It was a massive, dysfunctional breakdown of communications and an absolute disaster, absolute disaster. And after about 10 days, some FEMA guy came down to offer a truckload of water, and the sheriff just rolled his eyes and told him to get out of his parish because they were doing so little down there. So now, after a few weeks and after 3,000 people died and after so much damage had been done and people living in the Superdome had no way to evacuate and there was rapes and murders and mayhem going on, then the feds came in and there was some help. And once it settled down, apparently a lot of really hard-working people did a good job. But the emergency response, you know, that's what you think the military is there for. Now, remember the big John Wayne dude, General Russell Honoré, he got in there, I think, maybe 8 or 9 days after and took control of the streets of downtown and brought some semblance of order down there in the city where it was just outright chaos. And you hid in cover because you were so afraid of just your basic safety down there. The looting was going on right. Anyway, just terrible. But I just wanted to respond. There's been a lot of talk about that, so I wanted to respond to the Limbaugh thought that it was such a great bailout. I talked to Michael Brown. Remember Michael Brown, who Obama comes down and says, "You're doing a great job there, Brownie." And Michael Brown had headed up some Horsemen's Benevolent Association and got the job as kind of a political appointee. Didn't know much about disaster. He was very candid about it. He says, I was over my head, but I knew I was over my head. He said, he's on my radio show. Had him on this show maybe a year or two ago. We had Michael Brown on this show. And he said, "Look, I was completely over my head. But I knew I was over my head, and I asked for help. I said, look, I've got to have, you know, common sense tells me we need a number of items that I can figure out, and I'm trying to deal with this thing." And the response was nil. There was no plan put in place. Look, we got a plan to go to World War III. We got generals who play these war games every day of the week, and the computers can spit this out. And if the first Russian warhead even looked our way, we would respond just immediately with a huge game plan. And we'd pour troops as we did in Iraq, as we did in Afghanistan. We'd get the aircraft carriers going, but we'd boom. But internally, we just don't seem to have our act together. Just doesn't seem to work just right, does it? And so, Rush, I listen to you. I think on number of issues, we agree. I think you're right on the immigration. I mean, the Obama response has been pathetic. He's now talking, you know, they take all these folks across the board. These kids, there are some young kids, but apparently, you know what happens? The parents sneak in. I'm hearing a lot of this now. The parents sneak in, or one of the parents sneak in. Then relatives get the kids up there to the border. And they ask the kids, well, do you have any relatives in this country? Well, yes, I do. I've got a father in California. Okay, we'll send you to California with your father. Now you get the whole family in. You see, that's how you do it. You sneak in, then you bring the kids in behind you. And so there's so many scams taking place, and there's so many real humanitarian crises of young kids that are slipping in, looking for their family, looking for a better life. And I don't dispute that argument at all. And Rush Limbaugh is right on the money there. But when it comes to response, if we're going to have a balanced humanitarian approach, hopefully we'll build in some value added. Bring in people who offer something to our society. Sometimes with humanitarian aid, you can't do that. But then, at least for a young man, if you want to be a citizen, you earn that right to be a citizen by going into the military. You know, there's things you can do, but we just shrug our shoulders and that kind of thing, and the border security stays nil. Thousands and thousands cross a month, no real effort to build a wall, and our security and safety are at risk because, you know, if kids can sneak through, then a terrorist can sneak through with a very destructive bomb in his backpack, as we saw what happened up in Boston. You know, we knew those kids. We knew the Boston bomb. We knew those kids and the young men in Boston that blew up the Boston Marathon. We knew they were bad apples. The Russians called us up not once but twice and said, watch these guys. They're really bad guys. You don't want those folks in your country. We didn't pay attention to that, you see, so we're not paying attention to the border. But in any event, I wanted to differentiate that with Katrina because Katrina was a massive disaster, a failure on the part of a number of entities, and the federal government certainly was one. Hey, I'm out of time. Gosh, I've enjoyed the show today. Hope you've glad you stayed with me. Hope you found some things of interest, learned a little bit. I'll be back next time, same station, same time. We'll try to make some more evaluations of the world around us, some more common sense. My website, www.jimbrownusa.com. Have a good week, folks. See you next week on the Common Sense Show.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNLive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.